You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Gutting, 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 gutting. Hey, hi, what's going on? Kevin Goatee, gutting the sacred cow. God damn it, we've got a great episode. Connor Toole from Bro Bible joins us this week to try and take down one of the most recent beloved films that started off him doing a bunch of horrible films that are like the first one, and that would be Liam Neeson's Taken. That's right. He is coming after the man who loves to hunt down Albanian sex traders. Before we get to it, guttingthesacredcow at gmail.com. Drop us a line. Say hi. And if you want to advertise with your service or your product with us, love to talk to you. And of course, guttingthesacredcow.com every single day. Do not forget, we love for you to subscribe to us on YouTube. That's going to help us with monetization. So we'll thank you kindly. Appreciate that. Without any further, wait, let's go to Connor Toole trying to take down Taken. Love you.
This podcast is brought to you by Military True Crime Addict, a podcast focusing on true life events of military personnel, veterans, and those associated with the military. Give a voice to the victims and hear their side of the story, raise awareness of the heinous crimes, and support those most impacted. Military True Crime Addict is available wherever you get your podcasts, and you don't need to know anything about the military to listen. Now, back to the show.
Gather round, here's what I know. It's just that this cow has got to go. I know some people kinda like it, yeah, it's trending right now. Yeah, that doesn't matter, cause we're gutting the sacred cow.
Hey man, I got five kids to feed. Kevin Israel, name that film.
No idea.
I wonder if our guest Connor Toole knows that movie. Hey man, I got five kids to feed.
I know it's not Trading Places, but I think it's Trading Places.
It is not Trading Places. It is the 1990 classic Total Recall.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Kevin Israel, as a Schwarzenegger fan, I truly expected you to know.
I haven't seen Total Recall in a long time.
It is on cable.
Would you say you don't totally recall it?
Waka, waka, waka.
There it is. First one.
Zingo.
First one.
And this is
Circle
why.
Circle gets a swear.
This is why
I get on podcast.
I was saying, this is why Connor Toole from Bro Bible has decided to join us tonight. Connor, how are you, man? What's going on?
Good. I'm very excited to make a lot of people very mad online, like I have been for the past decade. So I've been practicing my entire life for this moment.
Would this be almost a Kelly Clarkson, this moment? I don't know the fucking song because I'm not, you know. But here we go. Connor, so thanks for coming from Bro Bible. Tell us about what you're up to. Shout out what you want to talk about real fast and what you're doing these days.
Yeah, I've just been doing – writing about dumb things online, doing some dumb things online that people write about, and mostly writing dumb things about dumb stuff for about a decade. So I'm right now deputy editor of Bro Bible, been there for a few years. Incredible group of guys, and we like to think that we make entertaining content, but you'll have to check it out yourself to brobible.com. to see if that's indeed the case. But yeah, I mean, I've been doing content for over a decade on the internet, and it is been a ride. So, but I get to do stuff like this and tell my parents, hey, look, here's something concrete you can point to. So thank you.
Hi, Mom and Dad.
Are you on the internet talking about boobies again, Connor?
No, that was the 2014 internet. I've matured now. So
so much growth.
I don't know why I gave a man named Connor a Jewish mom. I mean, that's a hell of an impression. Well, hello, Bubba. Have you decided to grow up and find yourself a young Kevin? If that's your wheelhouse. I don't know why I'm doing that.
Because deep down, aren't all our moms Jewish moms? Isn't that the way it is?
My mother is a world champion complainer. I will give her a nagger. Oh, she will fucking school anyone in nagging.
Welcome to the tribe, Kev. Welcome to the tribe.
As a comic for 11 years, I've already been indoctrinated by your people. Connor has alluded to he's going to go after a film that's going to piss a lot of people off, and he's right. This film is the 2008, I dare say, not a mega hit, but damn, is it what an ROI is Taken. The film that resurrected Liam Neeson, yes, the same Liam Neeson that was Qui-Gon Jinn in episode one, blech, as well as Darkman.
Hey.
I'll pause for Darkman.
I liked Darkman.
It's okay. They made a Nintendo game out of it, and boy, was it bad.
I'm shocked. A Nintendo game made out of a mediocre sci-fi movie? How could that go wrong?
It worked great for Superman and Spider-Man. I'm not sure why that was an exception.
And Beavis and Butthead. That game was terrible, if you recall. But we're talking about Taken, which Kevin Israel... Actually, I'm sorry. We're going to go to our guest, Connor. Connor, what do you think Taken scored on the old IMDb, 1 through 10 with decimal points? Taken.
6.4.
6.4. Kevin Israel, what do you have?
8.3.
7.8.
No way. Really?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. Well, I'm out here.
Rotten Tomatoes. Kevin Israel, Rotten Tomatoes, you know it. You love it. 1 through 100 scale for Rotten Tomatoes. What did the critics give Taken on the old Rotten Tomatoes critics tomato meter?
79.
I'm going to go with like 47. And that's generous.
59.
Wow.
59. We're going to go, Kevin Israel, what did the, I'm sorry, you went first. Connor, what did the audience give Taken?
Oh, the audience, they got a 7.8 on it. Probably like 87.
Kevin Israel?
I'm going to go 90.
85.
Ah, dang it.
0-3.
we were both lost on The Price is Right, though.
Yeah, we were both putting our own personal biases.
Congratulations! Now you get a copy of the board game from two male models. A budget of two, and I did this backwards, but the budget in 2008 of $25 million, box office haul $226.8 million.
Wow!
Times.
Liam Neeson forecasted this to be a bomb, which it yes, was the farthest thing it was. Turn that 20 to 2021 dollars, you bet your ass I have. $31 million budget, a box office haul of $280 million.
Not too shabby.
That is one hell of an ROI, kids.
Yeah, it is.
Quotes. I'm lazy for this one. I'm going to take the obvious two. You guys can jump in with yours. Good luck. And we spoke on the phone 2 days ago. .. The whole monologue. Connor, I'll let my guests go next. What quotes stood out to you?
I mean, there's so many just terrible one-liners in it. I mean, there's obviously the whole Taken speech, but I would say when he goes to rescue his daughter and he's like, I'd turn on the Eiffel Tower if I had to. when do you have to turn on the Eiffel? What scenario is that playing out where it's rescue daughter that has to happen? That's just, I don't see it.
It's passion, Connor. It's passion.
It also is just one big erector set. It probably wouldn't take that much longer for that
to just fall one piece out.
Right,
yeah.
Right. It would fall faster than that Miami condo just fell.
Oh, Jesus Christ, Kev.
It's not, I'm not making fun of that. I'm just saying, comparing times. Don't get all butthurt. Did you live in that condo? No. Shut up then. Kevin Israel quotes. What do you have?
The only one I got that I actually use on a pretty regular basis is, it's a flesh wound. I love that line. Adore it.
In a million different films.
but for it's you say it with his kind of inflection, it's it becomes something special.
I can't wait to hear us do our Liam Neeson for the next 40 minutes. It's really excited. Like, it's just going to be a very subtle Neeson off, but I'm looking curious. Or I'm curious to see who emerges.
Liam Neeson trying to be American.
Yeah. I just want to hear Connor do Liam Neeson and say midichlorians.
Midichlorians.
Yeah, that's a good fucking, pretty good goddamn one. Five fun facts.
Five fun facts. Five fun facts for you right now. It's time for five fun more facts. Five fun facts for you right now.
Want to take a guess? No, you're not. This is going to be a rough one. Jeff Bridges dropped out of filming this, and Liam Neeson stepped in. Can you imagine?
Jeff Bridges was going to be.
Was going to be Brian. And of course, he'd be running around spilling white Russians, chasing them in a fucking bathrobe.
I couldn't picture him beating anybody up. Mm. Was he ever in a movie where he kicked somebody's ass?
Arlington Road. Tron.
Yeah.
Barely Tron. Arlington Road, man, that is a masterclass in having the bad guy win and just fucking over everything that's good. Number two, the budget of this film, as I said, $25 million. Liam Neeson's salary for this film, $1 million. Liam Neeson's salary for Taken 2, $20 million.
With
Liam
points.
Neeson's, sorry, $10 million. I take that back. $10 million for Taken 2, $20 million for Taken 3.
And that was the worst one.
They were all fucking, the sequels are pretty goddamn awful. I mean, they were egregiously awful.
You know what? I don't think I even saw the third.
Apple doesn't fall far from the tree. That's all I'm going to say.
Is this third one the one where Famke Janssen gets killed and he goes off on a hell-bent revenge spree?
I couldn't even tell you. It's been so long.
I did watch it on Netflix.
From my memory.
I just remember the second one where he's like talking to his daughter through the phone and she's supposed to be like geolocating through sound. And she's like drawing a circle on a map. And I was like, who the fuck could figure this out?
Oh, with the explosions and yeah. It's like she's fucking Morgan Freeman in Bat in the Dark Knight using the cell phones to
right.
point the location of the Joker.
I don't like this technology. You must destroy it after.
By the way, I'll shout out Matt Jenkins, who's a great joke. He's like, black people rebooted the film, the movie Taken, and called it Took.
Took.
Yeah. Great joke. Number three, none of the Albanian terrorists are played by actual Albanians because all the Albanians who were approached to do this said, quote, it would do massive damage to Albania's image.
What is Albania's image?
The Borat effect in full force.
Yeah, yeah. Don't visit Kazakhstan because they're all backwards and anti-Semitic. Don't visit Albania because they're all sex slave traders. There is a kill every 3 minutes of this film.
That's a fine statistic.
That's like a commando number, Kevin Israel.
I don't know. I feel like commando might be even more.
I do too.
He was shooting giant machine guns.
How many flesh wounds, though? That's the important question.
Only one.
The main one where he threw the circular saw and scalped that guy in the shed.
Oh, man. I could watch that on repeat all day.
Isn't it? Oh, such a great fucking movie.
I tried figuring out for so long how you could throw one of those without cutting your own hand.
We got to grab it.
It's the magic of Hollywood, baby.
Yeah, you'd have to get it right. You'd have to get it.
Number five, Maggie Grace. 25 years old while filming this, by the way.
I didn't even want to know.
I had to. Was trained by a world-renowned running coach to teach her the finer points of running, like, quote, a 12-year-old girl.
Kevin, she was supposed to be 17, right?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
That's the look I was going for.
That too, by the way.
That scene, you know what? That scene where they're in the restaurant and she comes to ask him to go to Europe and she runs at him. I said to my wife, I was like, "What? Who runs like that?" So that's amazing that that's a fact. Because I was like, that's the most. And she had like the little girl shoes on, those, I can't remember what they're called, like the saddle shoes or whatever. Like, she's supposed to be 17. She's not nine.
Looks like a 9-year-old running the mile who forgot their shoes in gym class. And he's just like, oh, I gotta go. Do better, run faster.
And now for our brand new subject, and that is Ask a Gutter. And I want, is it Zypho? Yeah, Zypho. Zypho's asked, wants to ask our guest, Connor Tool, does he have a certain set of tools, certain set of skills, excuse me, to take down this film?
No, but I'm going to try and do it. I mean, I've watched way too many terrible action movies, so I think I'm an expert on that. So I'm going to give myself that credit.
I don't think you're giving yourself enough credit. I feel like you might be locked and loaded for this one.
Oh, I mean, I'm ready. I mean, I'm not going to, I can't toot my own horn until we go, but I mean, I think that I, like him, have spent the past 10 years in the trenches, abandoning my family, preparing for this moment. So,
yes,
I have a daughter. I've never seen her, just for today. So let's make it worth it.
Well, I hope she's wearing a very identifiable jean jacket so you can find her.
Well done, Kev.
Thank you, sir.
I got her a bedazzling kit for free.
Why do I have to wear this stupid jacket?
Like,
haven't you ever seen Taken?
Oh my God. That's almost as bad as like the Asian families who put the harnesses on their kids when they go to the malls. That's funny. But now it is, that is, and that concludes Ask a Gutter. That is the only question we got for Connor. So Kevin Israel, I don't want to keep this man waiting. I can't wait to hear more Liam Neeson impressions. I know you can't either. So now it is time for Connor Tool to gut the sacred. Cow.
All right. So yeah, thank you again for allowing me to ruin this for everyone. As I teased this morning, I've been sitting on sort of a nuclear option for years on end. I think this is going to probably ruin Taken for most people watching this. And that's the entire premise of this movie is, like you said, she was in a cafe drinking her milkshake, going to Europe. But she didn't go to Europe for the reason she said. She didn't go to museums. Why did she go? To follow U2 around Europe in 2008 as a 17-year-old girl. This is 4 years after they released their most recent album, How to Dismantle an Atomic Bomb. She identified the fake Shakira at the beginning and said she loved her. Wasn't at that concert, but in L.A., but decided to fly to France and fly country to country, night by night, to follow Bono, The Edge, and the other guys who aren't named with real names, probably. And I looked this up. There's a Reddit thread that I found, and someone, a YouTube fan, because they exist, went back and analyzed their set list for like 30 years. And they're infamous for essentially playing the same set list at every song and every tour. And so she goes to Europe to watch Bono and U2 do concerts. They get in, they find the first thing that they play at the apartment is The Hives. And the second song they play is, I couldn't even find it because I think they made this like emo pop pump song. Like you'd find it on the Warped Tour, which she should be on the Warped Tour as a 17-year-old in 2008. But no, she's in Europe following U2. So that's my biggest beef with that is just, I'm not one of those guys like, oh, this tiny plot hole ruined an entire movie for me. But like that, the premise of this, I mean, not even, I'll get to Liam Neeson in a bit, but that's just, I just take very much exception to that suspense of disbelief.
Got it.
Okay. And so second, so now she's there. And she gets taken as her dad promised. And that's the other thing is, first of all, he's like, oh yeah, no, you're fucked. They're going to take you. But she gets called. Phone's on the floor. He picks it up. First thing he does is says, I don't have any money. You know who does? The guy your ex-wife is banging. Because he just sent you over to Europe on a jet, a private jet from his shell company. And you spent 8 hours with the flight attendant. It's just like, oh, he's still listening to the guy say good luck again. And you've just been like, hi, I don't have any money for ransom. But you know who does? This guy who has a lot of money from like screwing over Russian oligarchs. And like, okay, here's the thing. I'm not going to say like that could have been the end all be all, But try that approach, maybe. Because at the end, we find out she got auctioned off because she was a virgin. Somehow they verified. It was like verified on Twitter. It's like, oh, no, we certified that she's virgin.
Certified pure.
Certified pure.
I wrote that down. Certified.
Yes, you did.
And she sells for $500,000, which, again, if you look at the logistics going into the auction, the staffing, like the Albanians are probably getting maybe 15% of that at most, when they could have been like, oh, all right, so we have this girl's ID. We can look up who she is and find out, like, oh, guy with shady business dealings in, like, Eastern Europe, where we're from. Maybe we could just, like, hit him up and get the money directly from him and get 10 times more than we would have. But they didn't. And Liam Neeson, he's a guy who plans so many things and seemed like he was so masterful about every single angle he had nailed. And it's like, okay, well, you just... the biggest thing in the world. He could have just tried it. That's all. And the other side note for me is this. I kind of wish that the guy with a lot of money, that this would have been a great movie. This has actually been an updated version of the game where all of this was just an elaborate plan to teach Liam Neeson about, like, the importance of spending time with your daughter. And it's just like a multi-continent, multi-million dollar, just a nice little goof. And at the end, they're all like standing there like, hey, you see, now you found the meaning of love.
That would have really sucked for the pretty boy who got taken out by the truck.
Unfortunately, it wasn't. But
would have been funny if they would have had, like, the game, they would have had, like, a jack in the box hand a note like, oh, your daughter's taken.
He would have called the jack in the box and it's like, hello. All right. And so then this brings me to sort of the bigger picture thing. As you mentioned earlier, Liam Neeson said he didn't think it was going to bomb. In fact, he did an interview a couple of weeks ago where he said, I thought it was going straight to video. Because right. Not because it was necessarily bad. It was just so generic and underwhelming. And that's what it is to me. Is, like I said, I love bad action movies that are like, so bad they're good. This is not one of them. Like, the only people, or the only reason people care about this movie is because they got so caught off guard by Liam Neeson in this role. So it's like, okay, the guy who did, he's like, he's selling himself as the biopic guy. It's like, oh, I'm Oscar Schindler, I'm Michael Collins, I'm the guy who writes about sex a lot. And then so he had taken a, I think, 3 or 4 year hiatus between his most previous film and this one. And so he comes back. It's like Love Actually guy, Kinsey guy. All of a sudden, he's old and running around Europe kicking bad guys' butts. And it's like, okay, cool. It's a novel concept, but like, you put Billy Zane in there, no one's going to care about this movie. You put Dolph Lundgren in there, like that went straight to VHS. Like, went straight to VHS. And like,
I would see that movie.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. And it's just like, there's so many elements of it that are just... trite cliche action with no real self-awareness, no wink and a nod. It's like, I mean, he was at, first of all, this is the guy who's inept at technology using a disposable camera. And how does he find the guy who kidnapped his daughter? He finds a card and goes and does like CSI level enhancing on a photo kiosk in Paris and finds the reflection and like finds the mirror. And it's, I've taken 2 or 3. There's the scene where he jumps over the fence and has like 18 cuts in 10 seconds. And everyone's like, oh, that's so bad. This movie has so many of those examples, all the car chases. It's like, you would have an epileptic seizure if you didn't have some warning going into this. And it's just, there's so many just cliches that there's no, it's so incredibly generic that I think most people were just like, oh, this is a nice little turn for Liam Neeson. Good for him. Like, his wife died. Now he gets to do some fun stuff. And it's like, yeah, I mean, it's fun in a vacuum, maybe. Which brings me to the final big point that I need to address is that it's responsible for the Liam Neeson action era.
Oh, yeah.
Is the world a better place? No. No, it's not. I mean, have you seen the Life Too Short scene where he does improv, or he wants to do improv with Ricky Gervais?
No.
It's incredible. Yeah. So he goes in and Warwick Davis is there and Stephen Merchant and Ricky Gervais are having a meeting, and then Liam Neeson just crashes in and he's like, I want to do comedy. And he just lists, he literally has a list. He's like, I want to do improv, sketches, parody. And like for this, I feel the origin story for Taken is the same thing. He just like, he sat down with his agent and just plotted things. He's like, I want to do car chases and explosions and corny one-liners and Middle Eastern henchmen and henchmen getting riddled with bullets and henchmen with accuracy of stormtroopers. And it's like, he checked all of those off on this. It was a great entry for him. But then what do we get after this? We get his like, first of all, we got The Wrath of the Titans, which is like an awesome bad movie. Like, that's a good, that's a good, terrible movie.
Wasn't it Clash of the Titans?
Clash of the Titans. I'm sorry. There was like, it was the remake that didn't need
to be made. Was he Zeus?
Yeah. Unleash the Kraken.
You beat me to it.
Got that out of it, which was great. But then what we get, what else? We have like Punches with Wolves or like The Gray or whatever it is.
Punches with Wolves.
Is that like the biggest retarded Indian of that tribe? Punches with Wolves.
And then most recently we got like the gritty reboot adaptation of Ice Road Trekkers on Netflix, which blew up. Guess what he was in 2 years ago? He played a movie where he was a snowplow driver hell bent on revenge. So like, cool. Everyone looks at Taken. It's like, oh, this is a nice little change of pace for Liam Neeson. You look at The Butterfly Effect. You look at The Dominoes. What did we get? It was just like, it's just shit. Like, there's nothing good has come from this.
Should I tell you why he did this film and why we're seeing this now? Or should I wait to my points? Because I have the answer. I know the answer.
No, actually, you know what? I will give me 10 seconds to wrap
up. Go ahead. Finish up.
And we'll go to it. And so, like I said, I mean, I think if this, especially, it's, and this movie also takes itself so seriously considering the subject matter. And it's like, it's about Albanians kidnapping 17-year-old girls and enslaving them to a Saudi Arabian prince on the yacht. They like believe that this is almost like a worthy, like good cause movie for them. I don't know. It's just like, give me Crank 2 any day of the week. Just like, give me something so over the top and self-aware and shitty that it's awesome. Whereas this is just like, all right, take it. So, I rest my case. I am more than happy to hear counter arguments and happy to respond.
So you're telling me that Transporter 3 and Death Race 2 and Hobbs and Shaw trump Taken?
Hobbs and Shaw, yes. Death Race 2, absolutely. Yeah, is that the one where they're on the like reboot with? Yes. Yeah.
Was Taken in Death Race 2?
Yeah. He was in, by the way, he was in all those films I just pulled right out of my asshole. That's how good I am.
Well, that's the thing is Transporter 3 is great because like, the first Transporter.
How can you differentiate between Transporter 1, 2, or 3? I can't even. Well, I've seen them all. Well,
how can you do it between Taken 1 and 3? It's because like Taken was.
Oh, I can.
Well, that's the thing. Here's the problem is the first Transporter is like, oh, this is like a pretty serious, like, sure, it's Jason Statham action stunt movie, but like pretty straightforward. By the time you get 3 in, it's like, we're not even going to try anymore. Stay with Fast and the Furious, stuff like that. With Taken, it's just like, all right, you didn't really mean to try on this first one, but I guess we're going to do two more and still not try or change the formula. And I don't know. I'm sure you're the numbers guy, so you tell me if the box office paid off for that. But
I did not do any homework.
Can you put a price on reputation, though? I say you can. I'm lying.
listen. Have you seen the Peyton Manning commercial that he turned down?
I don't think so.
Neither have I. Thus, I rest my case. So what the fuck? Taken 2 made $376.1 million.
All right, well.
That was just off of reputation. That was purely people just going in because they wanted to see it again.
And Taken 3 made $326 million. I mean, the fucking... You can't argue the third one was dog shit, and the second one sucked too. This is the first one you can argue. Oh, don't forget, Connor. He did also do Nonstop. He did Run
Around. That was good.
And of course, how can you ever forget The Commuter, where he's on a goddamn Metro North train?
The Commuter's fucked.
I didn't watch it, nor will I. But okay,
he wasn't. I don't think he was. He wasn't an action hero in that though. He was like just a guy who happened to be there. He wasn't like it was. Everybody thought he was going to be an action hero, and he wasn't.
Before
also, my favorite thing is action movies that take place on trains too. It's like we know where it's going.
Oh really? So like I
there's
found
only one way this train can go.
I found the one and only person who's going to try and defend Under Siege 2 in dark territory.
Yeah. I will defend Under Siege 2 to the death.
Oh, that film is an abortion. We did Under Siege 1 on this very podcast. Before we get into our notes, I will tell you the story why he decided to do this film. I forgot. I mean, I should probably Google this here. Liam Neeson's wife did not want him doing any of these kind of action films back in the day.
She's dead now.
So. Yeah. Well, there you go. Natasha Richardson. Until she skied into a fucking tree a la Sonny Bono, if I recall that correctly. As Google said, holy shit. Here's the headline. A typical day at a Canadian ski resort ended in disaster for the parent trap actress and her family following an unexpected deadly fall on a beginner's tree. So she didn't ski into a tree. But she told Liam Neeson, I don't want you doing these kind of cheesy action films. What's the first thing that he did, excuse me, besides get some new pussy? He did a shitty action film, and that was so because she died, this is the you said it, the butterfly effect. I couldn't put it better. If she didn't die, we would not have taken and the films like The Commuter or A Walk Among the Tombstones.
Classics, all of them.
Actually, we would have. No, we'd still have Taken because Jeff Bridges was going to do it. It would have just been with somebody else.
Oh, yeah.
Next on the list?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think Bridges would have been a big enough pivot, though, to, like, be a draw. Like, I think Liam Neeson was that weird, perfect, magical Venn diagram of whatever drew people there. I don't know why.
They must have enjoyed his work as the bad guy in The Deadpool, the last Dirty Harry film. These notes brought to you by Gutting the Sacred Cow. We can get some sweet ass merch like this, hats, mugs, bags, mugs. Oh, I already said mugs. I'm being repetitive. And guttingthesacredcow.com every day has blog articles, our list of 10 movie news, our new favorite thing of what movie would you want to see made? Guttingthesacredcow.com every day. And if you want to advertise with us, guttingthesacredcow@gmail.com. Notes! I didn't know a karaoke machine would need to be put on a layaway program. Jesus Christ, Brian Mills. Get a financial planner if you cannot properly budget your money. He visited that thing like a kid saving up with his allowance for a fucking transformer. Like, that's how pathetic this film started off.
Yeah, but who used that karaoke machine?
Beyonce.
Mariah Carey. And Gwen Stefani, baby. That's a murderer's row of karaoke singers right there.
Maggie Grace looks old enough to be in MILF porn, not a high schooler. It's bad enough the new husband dicks down Famke Jamson, but then, to really put the all-in fuck you move on Liam Neeson, he drops at least 5 figures on a goddamn horse. Talk about killing a fly with a shotgun and emasculating the poor guy who fought for our fucking country.
We're going to do this again, huh, Kev?
Oh, are we? Okay, let's see. I don't think you got this next one. One trait I would never imagine that a CIA operative does is scrapbooking.
Yep.
You had that too?
Oh, yeah.
I'm so glad I went first. Don't worry. You can go first for the next episode. Imagine if Liam Neeson was protecting Mariah Carey and asking her for advice while singing, about singing. She's been known to be a real pleasant lass, right? And I have a story about Mariah Carey. When in Vegas, as most of my stories usually start out, we were having dinner at the steakhouse in the Wynn. My back was faced to the entrance. Suddenly, a hush falls over the room. I go, what happened? What's going on? My buddy goes, Mariah Carey just walked in. So I go, and we're all fucking hammered. Of course, this is after hours of day drinking at the pool. Walking in, her bodyguard, she's walking in. She looks fucking good in person. And right as she passes our table, go, Mariah, not now. I am busy with my friends. We were having dinner. I said, now is not the time. Her bodyguards laughed their fucking balls off. Mariah Carey did not. To the point where the dudes sitting on each side of us were like, holy shit, man, that was the funniest fucking thing I've seen in months. Can we hang out with you guys tonight? Cool. More male groupies, Kevin Israel. That's awesome.
You got bodyguards fired. Good for you, Kevin.
Yeah. Maggie, they were, and it was like a It wasn't like a smirk and us. They were. Maggie Grace looks like someone running on heroin, or after she shotgunned 7 beers, put her bat on a put her head on a baseball bat and then 10 circles.
Disney bat.
Thank you. In other words, she runs like Napoleon Dynamite. Certain bad areas of Paris, says Liam. Just send me to the areas where there are not arrogant, smelly, non-deodorant using French people wearing berets. Just send me to that part of Paris. Oh, it's 2 blocks? Fuck that city. Famke Janssen, I've said it before and I will say it again. She is amazingly attractive.
You are out of your mind.
Dutch model, Kevin Israel. How can you fight that? She
makes me angry.
Why?
She just got this look on her face. I hated her in all the X-Men movies.
Fine.
She doesn't have resting bitch face. She has constant bitch face.
Mm-hmm. Rounders, adorable. Goldeneye, hot. His daughter's jean jacket looks like she had it airbrushed and macramated at a mall in Omaha, Nebraska. I flew to Europe 4 times, all red-eye flights. You know the first thing I did when I got to my hotel in all those different countries? I dropped my bags, turned up the tunes, and danced on a couch like a coked-out Vegas stripper getting the chance to blow Antonio Banderas. Who does that? If anything, Taken, you can't... Now, Connor, you're going to admit this. If anything, Taken is one big public service announcement on what to do if you're being kidnapped. But what if you yell out different types of characteristics as you're being dragged away? Soft hands, great cologne, and by the crease in his pants, and an average to above average dick. Liam Neeson assembles a voice recorder faster than a NASCAR pit crew changes 4 tires. Liam Neeson played that kidnapping recording as many times as I've played Whoomp, There It Is. You mentioned before, Connor, that he was going through his daughter's cell phone pictures. Imagine he does that in 2021. He would be stumbling through about 547 dick pics before he got to anything that gave him the clue where his kidnappers may have taken the daughter.
Oh, God, this one's pierced.
Oh, my, this one's veiny, too. The power of Christ compels thee. I've never paid for sex, unlike my co-host, and I've never would. I just don't. I just want to throw out accusations and see what sticks. Yeah. I've never paid for sex, and going into a den where blankets separate you from dudes who have Megan's Law red circles next to their name certainly could not help anyone's boner of common sense. I have a new I'm not in net marketing, but I'll give you a new tagline for the Jeep Explorer. Jeep Explorer can take more bullets than the Batmobile and still keep on ticking. Kevin Israel, let's add something else to the badass list of shit that I have to do before I die, and that is drive through a construction site office trailer. How fucking fun is that?
They're made out of apparently.
It's not a building, it's a trailer.
I don't know about you, but I jumped out of my seat and said, holy fucking shit. How did the casting director manage to find the Albanian version of Fredo Corleone?
There's also French Kevin Spacey as the police detective.
I like that. The we spoke on the phone 2 days ago scene has got to be one of those top 10 scenes that your reflexes kick and yell, God damn, that's some shit. Liam Neeson shooting his dinner host is a hell of a way to announce the food was terrible. Hope dessert was better for her sake. So cheesy, but whatever. Certified pure are 2 words you'll never hear in Vegas, Cancun, or South Padre Island, but I guarantee you heard those words a lot in David Spade's or Jeffrey Epstein's homes.
Well, there goes David Spade ever being on the podcast.
Mom, guess what? I got a part in a movie. Congrats, honey. What do you do? What are your lines? Well, my only line is, ah, as I drop a flute of champagne. 2 takes in and now I'm a star. The third woman in this film is, she drops a champagne when she sees the body in the elevator. And that was like, that's like her break. Because she just embraced and ate the shit out of that scene. Like, ah! As Liam Neeson chases the boats drive while driving down the wrong way of a one-way street, the scene from Naked Gun popped in my head. Now, Stephanie, normally you would not be going down 65 miles down the wrong way of a one-way street. Now, Stephanie, extend your arm and put up your middle finger. Love that. For bringing back the daughter alive, Liam Neeson should have been able to fuck Famke Janssen at least 10 times while her current husband has to watch him fuck her. In the butt. No. The daughter must still be jacked up on heroin as she decides to take the ride home from the airport with her mom. Not the dad who killed 30 fucking bad guys in 91 minutes while getting shot and punched. What an ungrateful little bitch. Ugh. I enjoyed this when it came out. And nothing has fucking changed, baby. It is self-realizing and just solid ass kicking for the entire time with a different angle than most kidnap action films. I appreciate the lurid subject matter and it being creepy again in a different angle than these kidnap action films. I like this film. I think it's damn fun. Yes, it passes the remote test. Connor, the remote test is, if you're flipping around on cable, you catch it at any juncture of the film. Do you drop the remote and watch it? The answer unequivocally is yes. 7 out of 10. Kevin Israel, floor is yours.
So Kevin Goatee and I both grew up as kids in the 80s when action stars had to look like Sylvester Stallone or Arnold Schwarzenegger or Jean-Claude Van Damme. And this movie launched the hopes of 1,000 middle-aged dad bods going, I could be an action star. Like it's possible. And now we've just seen a slew of movies where just these average-sized, average-looking guys are secretly badasses. And you know what? I'm kind of sick of it. I don't want every normal Joe thinking that they can fucking do gun kata or whatever John Wick does. Like we need some Arnold Schwarzeneggers back in our life. That's the only reason I'm still behind The Rock as an action star. He has not made a good movie in so long, but God damn it. At least he looks like a fucking action star. At least I can believe he does some of this shit.
Wait. You did like Nobody, correct?
Nobody was good. Nobody was good. But you know what? I enjoyed it, but it still hit me with, come on, he's this little fucking, and I get it that he's supposed to be, but there's a point where you go, I don't care how skilled you are. It's the scene from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood where Brad Pitt beats the shit out of Bruce Lee. Because it's like sooner or later, you're just going to meet a guy who can just overpower. Like, yes, all the skill in the world, but sooner or later, you're just going to get your ass beat. It doesn't matter. If you're a little guy, like, it just drives me crazy. Anyway, this movie also probably ended about 10,000 kids trips abroad. A bunch of dads went and saw this movie and was like, well, you're not going to Brazil next year. Sorry, because I am not Liam Neeson. This movie shouldn't have been called Taken. It should have been called Convenient. Because everything in this movie that happens is very convenient. if one thing didn't go right for Liam Neeson, his daughter would have been deep-throating a fucking Saudi Arabian prince for the rest of her 5 years of life. Like, this was... I mean, the fact, like you said, the fact that he saw the reflection, the fact that he happened to find the bedazzled jean jacket in that girl's trailer, the fact that she happened to remember that it was a place with a red door, it kept building on it. His daughter just happened to come out last when he walked in into the auction block. Like everything that happened, like I can take one or two of these things, but this was an entire movie of just convenient occurrences for this man with a particular set of skills, and everything just kept slowly working out for him, and nothing went wrong. Nothing went wrong for Liam Neeson. The only time anything went wrong was at the very end when they knocked him out and he was hanging up with the handcuffs, and then that moment of danger lasted all of.
And there are probably people in that party that would have paid good money for that too. Like you should be thankful that happened to him.
This is also one of those movies that just sets the CIA. Like, if you worked in the CIA, you can do anything. Like, there's just CIA means, and they never actually even say. They just say Langley, which I read tons of these thriller books, and I've seen all these movies. But I think there's a large amount of people out there that if you said, "What does Langley mean?" they'd be like, "I have no fucking idea." Like, this movie played a little. They should have just said he was in the CIA. But they couldn't say, they had to be like, oh, we were in Langley. And then the scene with all the army buddies all hanging out and like reminiscing about the good old times. That's like in so many movies where all the army guys get together and like, remember the time when you only had 3 bullets and you were bleeding out your ass and we had to fight off an army of Sandinistas back in 80s. It's like, oh shit, this is over actually happened. the movie definitely should have been called Convenient. They made it, and this movie took 37 minutes to get up to speed. The movie's, I think, 90 minutes long, 91 minutes long, something like that. 37 minutes to get up to speed. When it does, it gets there. But I forgot how long of a runway this movie had before it got in the air.
That's the same thing. When he goes to the house of the red door, I was like, this isn't an hour and 5 minutes into this movie. Like, it's just like, I don't know. Yeah, there's a first act and a second act that just kind of like didn't really do the whole third one.
Yeah, and the whole scene with the singer, scene in the beginning, that could have been taken out. That didn't need to exist. See what I did there? it only existed so you could have that final scene where she goes to the door and it's like, oh my god, and which would have never ever, I mean, could you imagine Britney Spears doing that? Like, nobody would ever, that would never ever.
Her dad wouldn't let her.
What's that?
Her dad wouldn't let her.
Not unless he got that 20% up front.
Hashtag free Britney. Yeah, so that the singer scene was just rude, and it was like, we get it, he's a nice guy, and they go, he went so far out of their way to be like, the new dad is a rich prick, the old dad is poor but loves her. You know how you're gonna know? Because we're gonna beat it into your face for 37 minutes until he finally, and he and listen, I would like to think that I'm a big enough guy to just be like, listen, I got to go save her. But at some point, I would have said, I told you so. Like, he at no point says, I told you so. Like, I don't care how much of a bigger person he is. At no point did he say, I told you. And then even when he rescues the daughter at the end and they embrace and she's like, you came for me, I would have been like, now will you listen to me? You fucking bitch. I just killed half of Paris for you. And speaking of which, he murders so many people in this movie. So many people die, and he just gets on a plane and flies out of I don't care that he worked for Langley or that he knew this guy. There's some legal action that's going to be taken against him. He's not just going home. He's on, there's cameras, there's film of him murdering people, of him destroying a construction site. Oh, the construction site. The guy just goes, oh, he's at the construction site. And then he knows which construction site in Paris. He just drives to and it's just this big, massive construction site. It's like, oh, it's obviously.
It's the one with dozens of people outside a shack in the middle, handing in numbers.
And there was a real
well, 100 people are around them welding. Right.
And there was a real construction project going there. And none of the people working at that project were like, hey, you know, I think they're keeping cracked out women in that one trailer. Maybe we should report this. Apparently, what I took away from this movie is there's no police in Paris. Like, nobody's monitoring anything that goes on in Paris. And when Liam Neeson went to the Albanians' headquarters and walks in and just starts saying that he's a French official, nobody was like, why do you sound like a Scot trying to be American? You're not even, your card says you, so it's like a French name.
Jean-Claude. Yeah.
Why are you looking at me like that?
Not from Belfast, I'm from Normandy.
Oh my God. There was a lot in this. When he first gets to Paris and he's trying to like relive her experience, did he really have to climb under the bed? Like, was that really a necessary part? Did he have to climb under the bed and then just sit there and be like, I could see her shoes from here? Like, that was
that's the best part of that scene too, is I realized until he finds a thing at the end, until the card at the end, that was 5 minutes of that expedition for nothing. Like, nothing happens there.
Right.
From the moment he arrives. Just find the SIM card when you get in there and like, yes, save us all that 5 minutes. It would have been great.
Absolutely. Now I will get to the stuff I really liked about this movie. The action in this movie is satisfying to me. I love seeing people who deserve to get their ass beat, get their ass beat. But I always want them to get their ass beat a little more than they, maybe it makes me sadistic. But like the pretty guy in the beginning who was the lure for the girls, when he started punching him in the kidneys, I think I yelled in the movie theater. I think I remember going, yes! And people were like, this guy's a fucking maniac. And then when he got hit by the car, I remember being like, that was too easy. Like, I wanted to get punched in the face a few more times.
The how high treatment.
yes, exactly. But the scene, this movie has one of my favorite scenes in any action movie. Kevin alluded to it. The dinner scene is without a doubt one of my favorite scenes in movies. My wife and I quote that all the time. The flesh wound, you forgot the weight of a gun that's loaded versus one that's not loaded. That's just such a, and he starts dropping the bullets like, you bitch. He's throwing the bullets at him and the wife's just,
and then he shoots Jean-Claude.
And then he shoots the wife in the whole theater when I saw this movie screamed when he shot her in the shoulder and nobody cared. Like, we didn't give a shit about her. Speaking of people you didn't care about, the friend dies. Her friend, who she goes to, he finds her dead, and he's just like,
"Oops!
Oh well, let's go on." There's no mourning for the friend whatsoever. But that scene in that dinner scene had to be one of the most tense, uncomfortable scenes, next to when your cousin decided to bring up the 2020 elections at Thanksgiving. Like, I feel like those two might have competed with each other, and then he just leaves. Like, he shoots her and he leaves. That's such a badass. I think every guy saw that and was like, I really wanted to do that someday. Like, one of my buddies has a wife that I really hate, and I'd like to shoot her in the shoulder. Like, she's not going to die, but I'm going to shoot her in her leg and be like, stop bitching. It's a flesh wound. I could watch that scene probably every day to start my day, like, to get me jacked up.
I realize this. I didn't mention what happens right before that scene is when he is walking to his apartment just with a baguette in his hand. It is the most French. Just not even a bag. Just like, oh, hello. It's me walking back home from work with my baguette in hand.
The only thing missing was him wearing mime makeup.
And by the way, going back to my point of no repercussions, he killed some Middle Eastern royalty. He murdered the guy. And there's going to be international consequences for that. Like, an American operative went into Paris illegally and murdered the member of some Middle Eastern royal family.
It's a good thing it wasn't a Washington Post journalist.
Jesus.
There is a headless joke in the making.
So look, this movie on rewatch, I haven't seen it in a while. There is, like I said, there's a ton of real convenient occurrences in this movie that all string together, but the movie still makes me happy. Like, it still makes, like, watching Liam Neeson go around and just beat the shit out of all these guys. And he beats them with, it's not, the action isn't as good as like John Wick. John Wick now is where I hold like action. The fight scenes in John Wick are about as good as it's gonna get. This wasn't John Wick level, but this was more just raw, like, I'm so angry I'm gonna punch you in the face. And then it's also one of those movies, those action movies where wherever you shoot a bad guy, they're dead. Like, no matter what happened, like, he went through the Albanian and he just kept shooting people and they just died, which I love in action movies. And that brings me back to the 80s. Like, a hero can get shot 9 times, never hits a vital organ. A bad guy gets shot in the toe, bleeds out, dies. And that always makes me happy. This movie still brings about some level of like 12-year-old joy of just fun violence without any repercussions. And it does have a ton of holes in it, but for me, it still fucking holds up. I still really enjoyed it. I actually didn't think I was going to. But I did. And by the way, it's 90 fucking minutes. It's such a short movie. It's unfortunate that I think the beginning should have been like 15 minutes. I think they could have gotten all that point across in about 15 minutes and made like a 70.
Did you want to have more dialogue with him and the Albanian translator?
No, I think the movie just could have been shorter. I think it could have probably been like a 75 minute movie.
Oh my God.
But I did really enjoy it and enjoyed it more than I thought I was going to. So for me, it holds up.
Give me a number.
I'd give it a 6.5.
All right, I said 7. And Connor, what number did you give? I don't know if I asked you or not.
I mean, I'd probably do like a 4 or 5. Just for me, it's not in the vacuum, though. You got to look at, like I said before, what happened after this came out. And like you said, I mean, it convinced a bunch of people that you could just be a schlubby dude punching people. And that's it. And we just got a glut of these movies. And
by the way, your U2 point is brilliant.
Yeah.
That because I that went through my head.
I don't know why I have to bring up anything else.
But I was too lazy to look at the to go on the online and be like, was you too big back then? Because for some reason I was picturing this was in the 90s. But
they're always big. My wife is a huge fan. She goes to see them all the time. Every time they're around the area, she even goes. She went with the Nashville with her friend to go see two shows. They're always touring. So that
but
was
big surprising. For big for teenagers.
Yeah, you know what it was?
All the kids do it.
It was the you know what it was? It was the iPod commercial that did brought Vertigo when that came out. That's what might have gotten her at that time. I forgot when that commercial came out.
No, that was with that coincided with the album 2005 though.
Yeah.
Tommy Bob. So
I forgot,
go on Warped Tour.
I forgot. Yeah, Warped Tour is so much better. I'm with you on that 100%. I forgot to give one of my points, Kevin. It involves one of our favorite topics. Liam Neeson on that fucking cruise ship has a goddamn MP5, but dives through glass to engage in hand-to-hand combat. This was the most... There was a lot of that doesn't happen. This is the most egregious of that doesn't happen, where he throws the gun away. And I mean, Jesus Christ, how many times have we fucking seen that? Where Ninja Turtles, only a fool throws away his advantage. Commando, I don't need the knife. I don't need the gun, John. I don't need the gun.
The end of Commando, it's cool though. When he's like, I just want to kill you with my bare hands.
Yeah.
Commando can do no wrong.
No, it's perfect.
It's like dodgeball. When he's like, I don't need to see to throw the ball, right? Am I doing this right?
O'Connor, don't bring in a shitty film talking about fucking Commando. Dodgeball is a diarrhea fucking turd. Hate that film.
It's a poop flavor lollipop.
Yeah. This film, okay, so we're doing our critics 5-star reviews.
5-star reviews. 5-star reviews by critics.
When the protagonist can electroshock torture a thug for information and the audience can applaud him for it, it's evident that an intriguing character has been born. Bit of a reach on that one there.
Read a little harder.
Overall, this is a good, not great, release of a film that has made itself an enormous amount of money and earned its place among our generation's other semi-superheroic thrillers.
That's a 5-star review?
Yeah, wow. It is.
Do they know how reviews work?
Yeah. Neeson stars in the sort of part Harrison Ford. Neeson would have stars in the sort of part Harrison Ford would have gotten 10 or 15 years ago. I have a certain set of skills that make me a...
I forgot. No, there's literally that movie where he plays a banker who gets his family get held hostage. It's like just as bad as this one. I forget what it's called.
Wasn't there also a movie with Mel Gibson where his family gets held hostage?
Ransom, yeah. Gary Sinise is the bad guy.
Yeah.
And Billy Corgan from Smashing Pumpkins is in that as well.
Naturally.
By the way, I just did the quick math. Do you know that all three Taken films made almost $1 billion? Almost.
Wow.
Well, it's always Taken 4. Push it over the hump.
I liked it, but don't expect the unexpected in this French action thriller, especially in an ending that is predictable as a Pine Sol commercial.
Sorry, what? How many stars are these?
5. All 5.
Oh, jeez. This is proving my point.
Critics 1-star reviews.
Critics 1-star reviews. Critics 1-star reviews.
The cinematic equivalent of that guy in high school who was capable of making good grades, but always coasted through with C's. It sounds autobiographical. As Kim, Maggie Grace is a bit old to be convincingly to portray a boppy teenage... I copy and paste. I don't edit. To convincingly portray a boppy underage teenager, although she appears to be giving her best to a one-dimensional role that essentially disappears during the movie's slam-bang midsection. She's on heroin, asshole! What do you expect? Merchant of Venice?
I think she has like 6 lines in the whole movie.
And it's, Daddy!
I love you!
Doting dads are doting dads, I guess, and there is just no stopping him, which is a shame, as what follows is a big, sorry mess of the most cliched, improbable, and xenophobic kind.
Wow.
Soapbox for one. I love this line. Was Liam Neeson looking for a script with lousier dialogue than The Phantom Menace?
They just wanted to get a Phantom Menace stab in.
You know what? It worked. Amazon, 5-star reviews.
5-star reviews. Amazon, 5-star reviews.
Nice transaction. No problems. By the way, there are a lot of those in the 5-star reviews.
Oh.
Kid you not. Next one. As a huge Charles Bronson fan, I love Vigilante Justice, haha. Love this movie. Liam Neeson slapped around the bad guys who should have listened to his warning during that phone call. They paid big time stupid tax, in quotes. Liam also did a great job dodging hundreds, maybe thousands of bullets, which was quite impressive. His daughter's friend was an idiot and a hoe. Faux show. Do you love unadulterated, undiluted, unfiltered, pure, genuine, raw, awesome? Then Taken will have to file a restraining order against you because you're about to send it a fan letter, gushing how much you love it in individually cut out newspapers and magazine letters. After putting this piece of cinematic history, making bliss into your DVD player, one of two things will happen. You'll never be able to hit the eject button, or you'll fall victim to spontaneous combustion after witnessing such skull fracturing, terrorist slaying, wickedly gnarly coolness. Signed, the guy who does the Sunday commercials.
Is that fan fiction? I'm a little chug.
Did this guy just learn words that day?
That was like the foreigner who learns like ESL and really puts it all together with adjectives and learns intensive modifiers.
I am very big happy.
Son of beach, sheet. One number of issues that were glossed over was the lasting psychological impact of the experience on the daughter, even after her rescue. She would never be the same again and would, I suspect, require extensive counseling to have any hope of resuming a normal life. Post-traumatic stress disorder would be as much as a problem for her as for any soldier. It could take years for the negative effects in this experience to be overcome. In that regard, the ending was much too much Hollywood Pollyannism. Signed, Jerry Springer.
I actually saw a study the other day. It turns out if you sing karaoke on U2 on a karaoke machine, it's as good as ketamine for PTSD. So she'll be fine.
And especially while riding a horse.
That's how the movie should have ended. It should have ended her with her singing on the karaoke machine while riding a horse.
Hello, hello, hola. I'm in a place called Vertigo. ¿Cómo está? ¿Dónde está? Sorry.
I should have mentioned this earlier. To debunk my YouTube point, the only hole in that argument is that it's very well established she's a horse girl. So, like, rules don't apply here. So she logic does not govern this, the mind of the horse girl. So, I mean, I'm poking holes in my own argument.
Well, I loved it when they were trying to... They tried establishing that the guy was rich, and they're like, what do rich people have? Big white mansions with butlers. And what do they get for their kids? Horses. We got to get horses.
Wouldn't that have been a fucking – I think Connor would have changed his tune if they ended the movie this way. They come out of the airport, and the guy's there with the new dad's there with Famke Janssen. And she goes, how about a ride? And he goes, no, I'm going to go with dad. And dad goes, that's cool. I got transportation. And it's the dad's – it's the new husband's horse that he got for the daughter. And they ride home. He just got up and walked away. That's how good that
is. Now he likes the movie. Now he's
– give me that or the game reboot.
I love it. By the way, the game is so fucking underrated. I love that film. So good. Amazon 1-star reviews.
Amazon 1-star reviews. 1-star review. 1-star review. 1-star. 1-star reviews.
Long one, but worth it. I might have guessed that Taken was not my type of movie, but I didn't realize how stale and offensive it would be. Welcome to a world in which Paris is pretty much more dangerous than safe Los Angeles. Women are helpless, naive, and out for risky hookups. The evil sex traffickers turn out to be rich Arabs. Natch. Blonde Americans are the highest prize for the olive-skinned perverts. The French are generally helpful, unhelpful, and corrupt. And last but certainly not least, the American hero is more sadistic and a bigger killer and criminal than any of the foreign villains. As long as to protect my family, the ends justify the means, including threatening innocent members of other people's families. If you want a hero with self-doubt or a sense of humor, nope, not in Taken. If you want villains with personalities, nope, they're just animals. Did this person miss the part? Whereas the Albanians and the French are the true fucking criminals. Look, the Arab sheik was a piece of shit. No one is denying that. But he didn't hook her on drugs and pimp her out. He just bought her. The other guys were bigger pieces of shit.
And there's a sentence you don't hear every day. He just bought her.
Yeah. I guess we're canceled now. Next. The real world does not need movies like Taken. It's particularly sad that anyone would think that this movie is in any way true to life. The only thing true to life about this is that it says something about why America is so much trouble with its real problems. Signed, Professional Axe Grinder.
Jesus. So people took... I'm fucking politics.
People just want to mouth off and say how bad it is. But then they're the first ones to go to another country and have a problem, go, American citizen, where is the American embassy? Where is the embassy? Fucking hypocrite pieces of shit. I meant to rent Taken 2, which was great. If I had seen Taken first, I would have never seen Taken 2. I could not stand the daughter character. She seemed developmentally disabled. Parentheses. That's the politically correct way to say what I really think.
But she was in the second movie.
They didn't
yes.
say it.
Yes, she was in the second film. This guy wanted to write Tardzies in the most valuable way, but would not. I guarantee you that was the first word out of his mouth.
So much is straight. Good for
you. Thank you. I love this. I love the story behind this. It made me aware of the underworld.
There are bad things out there. I know because I saw it Taken.
I can't wait to show this person 8mm.
The human centipede.
Yeah. Or
that was written by Brendan Fraser in Blast from the Past. I'm pretty sure.
I've never seen that film because I value my time more importantly. Last one. Did not know I was getting the Spanish version. At least Amazon gave me my money back and let me keep the DVD. Got drunk and watched it. Very entertaining.
And that would be a better movie than what I just watched.
Kevin Israel, did Connor Tool of Bro Bible gut the sacred cow?
Connor made one of my favorite points, I think, in recent memory on this podcast. I love the U2 point. That's fucking fantastic. He did make a lot of good points. Connor, I don't think you fully got this one though. I don't know. I think it just stands up. And I think if we awarded you a gutting, you would have people at your house with fucking torches.
You'd be surprised. And
I'm saving you violence.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So this is for you. I think the movie held up. I am really surprised that I liked it as much as I did on rewatch. But you did a great job and you really put good arguments together. So good for you. But Taken still stands on its four legs.
Oh, that U2 point was great. And you can tell there wasn't much in the budget because they use, as you said, a Hive song instead of a U2 song. Because if they're saying U2, wouldn't they be dancing the mysterious ways on the fucking couch or fucking
the cheery Sunny Bloody Sunday? Yeah, real uplifting song.
And then you'd see Liam Neeson walk and go, I know this song. I played a lot at my bars. All right. Anyway, I agree, Kev, with Kevin Israel, that my co-host, that yes, you did give it a nice 1-2 point to the what the fuck was that? A nice 1-2 kick to the hooch, not enough to take it out. You might have bitten its ear off, but the fight wasn't stopped because of that. Yes, I say that because Tyson bit off Evander Holyfield's ear 26 years ago today, as we tape this. But yeah, wow. Good stuff nonetheless. Connor, appreciate it. Give us a shout out again. What are you up to? Where can we find you? What are you doing?
Thank you. Yeah. So just check out Bro Bible, Google my name on Twitter for like way too many tweets about Steely Dan. And yeah, that's really about it. If you like that and like references to In the Mouth of Madness, then I'm your guy. So
you're the first person under the age of 50 to make reference to Steely Dan in a non-ironic way. Kevin Israel, what about you, sir?
You can find me at kevinisrael.com. My calendar is updated. I actually have a decent amount of dates coming up. I'll be at Foxwoods Casino in Connecticut a few times in July and August. And yeah, some shows coming up. And make sure to please leave us a review and a 5-star rating on your podcast platform of choice. It really does help. It makes us happy, and it makes the algorithm happy. And we all are slaves to the algorithm. So if the algorithm isn't fed, you don't know about us. So please, yes, exactly. So please leave us those reviews. It means something to us. It helps, and it moves this beast forward.
The algorithm is a fickle bitch, I must say.
She's a tepid lover.
KevinGoatee.com for other shenanigans that are afoot. But more importantly, guttingthesacredcow@gmail.com. If you want to advertise with us, guttingthesacredcow.com every single day. Follow us on YouTube, for the love of Christ. You're watching us right now on YouTube, some of you. And we need a little help. Just subscribe to us on YouTube. Turn off the notifications. We don't give a shit. We're getting close to getting monetized. Every little bit helps. Just turn off notifications if you want to. But just subscribe to us on YouTube, GTSC Podcast on Twitter, Gutting the Sacred Cow on Facebook and Instagram. And that is that. Oh, one of the dogs have come in to say hi. Jailbreak. Kevin Goatee, Kevin Israel, Connor Toole, thank you so much for coming to hang out with us. We will see you all next time. Avita Zen.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.